Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Chaf Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Shuli and Sima Mandelbaum, Le'ilei Nishmas Rachel Bas Shmuel, and Yisrael Ben Meir David, Aleihem HaShalom, who were sent to the gas chambers in Auschwitz today, and also for Hakar Satov Takarosh Baruch Hu for giving us back Yerushalayim today on Yom Yerushalayim. There's chus for learning shvi, there's chus for those neshamos, and a sign of Hakar Satov to the Ribbono Shel Olam for Yerushalayim. So we are holding on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We're kind of a little bit up the page, almost like 10 lines up the page. The beginning of the line, the first words of the line are Umishar Shvatim. We had mentioned that no one made it to Eretz Yisrael from the generation of the Meraglim except for Kalev and Yehoshua. But we started going through some potential exceptions. And today we're going to discuss, yesterday we discussed Achia, today we're going to discuss Ya'ir ben Menashe, how it could be that Ya'ir ben Menashe made it into Eretz Yisrael, if in fact the whole Dor of the Meraglim was supposed to have died out before getting into Eretz Yisrael. Then the Gemara is going to have a discussion when they divided up Eretz Yisrael. So we have a lot about Chalukah Sa'aretz today, so a little bit of a Yom Yerushalayim coincidence, although not really about Yom Yerushalayim, about Yerushalayim per se, but about Eretz Yisrael in general. Adrab, it's really not about Yerushalayim, it's not Nischalka L'Shvatim, but Eretz Yisrael, when it was divided up, the Gemara is going to have the question of whether they divided it into roughly 12 even parts, and then no matter how big or small the Shevet is, they had to figure it out, or did they look at the numbers of each Shevet before determining how large each part was going to be? So it was really based on the number of people, and each person got roughly the same amount of space. Then the Gemara is going to bring a couple of rayas on that issue. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how the Chiluk Ha'aretz worked in the times of Yehoshua, and how it's different La'asid Lavo. And the Gemara is going to have a long brisa where we're going to explain bit by bit of the brisa. We're going to explain that La'asid Lavo, there's a 13th chelek. Who gets that 13th chelek? We're going to talk about how people who receive a better portion are going to compensate those who get a less good portion. What makes a portion better and less good, and how did the compensation work? What did they give them? More land, more money. How exactly did they compensate them? On the top of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to identify and the qualities of the lands that were received specifically by Yehoshua and by Kalev. And then we're going to have a Mishnah on Amud Beis that's going to go back to regular Dina Yerusha, and it's going to discuss the similarities and the differences between men and women when it comes to Dina Yerusha, both in terms of yarshening a father versus yarshening a mother, as well as a son yarshening versus a daughter yarshening. And the Mishnah is going to have this one cryptic line where it says Echad Haben ve'Echad Habas l'Nachla, or Binachla. And we're going to try to figure out what exactly is that line trying to teach me. We're going to have four different explanations of what that line is actually teaching me that I didn't already know. When we say Echad Haben ve'Echad Habas b'nachla. So let's begin at, again, Mishar Shvatim Lo Ayil, about 10 lines before the end of the page, on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. So ask the Gemara, Umishar Shvatim Lo Ayil is from the other Shvatim. We already said that a major exception to the rule that no one made it into Eretz Yisrael and that everyone died in the Midbar was Shevet Levi. That Shevet, it was only people who are counted me Ben Esrim. Shevet Levi is counted me Ben Shloshim, so they are not part of that rule. So ask the Gemara, and from other Shvatim, was there really no exception? Was there no one else besides for Yehoshua and Kalev who made it into Eretz Yisrael? Tanya, I'll bring you a brisa. It says not that way. Ya'ir ben Menashe, Machir ben Menashe, noldu b'yimei Yaakov. They were born in the days of Yaakov Avinu. V'lo meisu at shenichnasu Yisrael la'aretz, and they didn't die until after the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar v'yakum me'am anshei ha'ai kishloshim v'shisha ish, that the anshei ha'ai killed kishloshim v'shisha ish. The battle of Ai was a battle that had to happen twice, because after the battle with Yericho, we were somewhat overconfident that everything was going to go easily for us, because Yericho was this major fortified city, and it fell very easily. We just marched around its walls 7 days in a row, and the walls just caved into the ground, and we were able to march right in. So we took the Battle of Ai a little too lightly, and the Navi tells us beyond that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset, because we had a rule with Yericho that you weren't allowed to take from the spoils, and someone took from the spoils of Yericho, even though it was a Melchama that happened on Shabbos, and so we lost the Battle of Ai, the original battle of Ai. It was only after we identified Achan as the perpetrator, it was only the second time around, and we changed the military strategy, and we came from two sides, and we really put a little more effort into the second battle of Ai. It was only then that we took Ai. But when the Navi tells us that the Anshei Ai killed Kishloshim Vishisha Ish. So Vitanya Shloshim Vishisha Mamish Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says Kishloshim Vishisha means 36 people. Amar lo Rabbi Nachami v'chinemar Shloshim Vishisha v'lo nemar ela Kishloshim Vishisha. It doesn't say 36. It says like 36. Well, that's an oddly specific number to say like. Meaning, if you're talking, say, if you'd say like 500, so okay, 498, 503, you know, something in that ballpark. Kishloshim Vishisha. Very strange. Elizeh Ya'ir ben Menashe Sheshakul Kerubishal Sanhedrin. It's referring to one person, but that one person is Ya'ir ben Menashe, who is the equivalent of the majority of the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin has either 70 or 71 judges, Machlokas in the very first Mishnah of Mesech Sanhedrin. Either way, 36 would comprise the majority of the Sanhedrin. In the Sefer Melech Shalem, he explains Dafka, the number 36, based on what the Gemara says in Sukkah Daf Memhei, that the world always has 36 tzaddikim that are zochel mekablim pnei shechina each and every day. Ya'ir was shakul keneged all of those tzaddikim, meaning his stature was so great, not stam, that he was like the majority of the Sanhedrin, but he was like the 36 great tzaddikim who are mekabel pnei shechina every single day. So that's why mitzvah tzaddikim is a kapara, because it's one tzaddik is worth what many, many other people would be worth. So that was the great loss of Ya'ir ben Menashe. But the bottom line is, he made it into Eretz Yisrael. He made it through the Battle of Yericho, and it was only lost in the Battle of Ai. And clearly, he was born in the days of Yaakov Avinu. Elam, Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, lo nigzra gzera lo al pachos mi ben esrim v'lo al yeser mi ben shishim. The gzera was only made for people who are between the ages of 20 and 60. If someone was under the age of 20 or older than the age of 60, by the time of the Chet HaMeraglim, they were not included in the Gezerah. Lo apachs ben esrim dichsiv mi ben esrim shonam meila. So that it doesn't apply to anyone who's less than 20. That's beferish in the Pasuk. How do I know the Gezerah didn't apply to anyone who was older than 60? V'lo al yasrim ben shishim gamar umala me'arachin. Mala alan yasrim ben shishim kupachs mi ben chaf. Avkan yasrim ben shishim kupachs mi ben esrim. That we have Gezer Shava that links this parsha with the parsha of Arachin, and just like by Erechin, the halacha is that anyone who's over the age of 60 is the equivalent of someone below the age of 20. So over here as well, we know someone below the age of 20 is not including the Gezerah. So too, someone above the age of 60 is not including the Gezerah. And it's obvious that Ya'ir ben Menashe was over the age of 60 by the time of the Meraglim. He saw Yaakov Avinu. He was born in the days of Yaakov Avinu, so he was way older than 60 at the time of the Meraglim. So he was a very, very old man, but he made it into Eretz Yisrael. So a couple of things over here. First of all, the Gemara's assumption over here, that just like by Arachin, it's obvious that someone who's over 60 is the same as someone who's under 20, the Rashbam points out that's not true by Arachin, meaning when you talk about the Erech of different ages, there is no number for if someone who's below the age of 20. There are several different numbers for someone below the age of 20, and none of those numbers match someone who's above the age of 60, because when you're over the age of 60, the Erech is Chamisha Asar Shkalim, it's 15 Shkalim. Below the age of 20, it depends how old you actually are. Mi ben Chodesh Vad ben Chamesh Shanim is 5 Shkalim. From 1 month old to 5 years old is 5 Shkalim. More than 5 years old until 20 years old is 20 Shkalim. So what does it mean that they're the same? So the Rosh Bam says they're the same in that they're less than people between the ages of 20 and 60. Meaning it seems that there's like this, you start out with a lesser Erech. You go up, and then down after the age of 60. That's what the Yad Ramah writes, and he says you can't say that the Gemara means that they're the same Legabe and Nekeva, that someone older the age of 60, unless they're in the age of 20, is Asara Shkalim by a Nekeva, because the limud of the Gezerah, the limud is Legabe the Gezerah that was made on Zecharim and not on Nekeva. So it has to be that we're talking about males, but yet we say that it's equal, even though it's not exactly exactly equal. It just means that over the age of 60 and below the age of 20, it's less than when one is in, I guess, what you would call the prime of their life. Now, why is it that over the age of 60 is not included in the Gezeira? So the Ein Eliyahu explains that someone who's less than 20 doesn't get punished by a Bezen Shel Maila, over the age of 60, we're not including the Gezeira, because the Gezeira was to be in the Midbar for 40 years. So if you were over the age of 60, that meant you were over the age of 100 by the time you came into Eretz Yisrael. And the Mishnah in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos tells us, you know, what the different milestone ages signify, and it tells us that someone who's ben mea is kilu overu batal mea olam. It's even though he's physically here, it's as if he's not here anymore. So since the whole Gezeira was only for 40 years, they were not including the Gezeira because they're gone. They're already over u batal mea olam. Not a popular Dvar Torah to say at a 100th birthday party, I guess, but that's the different ages mean. Someone told me recently that that a guy asked the Satmar Rebbe, he was very concerned, I think I may have mentioned this, that he was very concerned that he was turning 60 and he was afraid of becoming a Zakein. So the Satmar Rebbe said, don't worry, you turned 40 and you never got Bina. Some of you could turn 60 and you won't get Zikni either. So Avkan Yasser mi ben Shishim Kapachas mi ben Esrim. So here as well, someone over the age of 60 is like someone under the age of 20. So now the Gemara raises a new shayla. Ibayluhu Eretz Yisrael l'shvatim iflug odilma l'karkaf gavri iflug. When they divided up Eretz Yisrael, was it divided into, in the way the Rashbam understands the question, into 12 equal parts, and then they... And then amongst the Shvatim, the Shevet had a lot of people, so each person got a smaller portion. If the Shevet had a smaller population, each person got a larger portion. Or no, maybe they took the population of each Shevet into account when they divided up which area of land each Shevet got. And therefore, each person, no matter what Shevet they were in, would get roughly the same amount of land. So the Gemara is going to have a couple of Rayas that was divided up by the Shvatim and not by the amount of people. It happens to be not all the Rishonim agree that that is in fact the Kasha. The Shittim Gvetzes quotes a Ravid that certainly the Gemara is certain that Eretz Yisrael is divided up into 12 parts that are not exactly even, and each Shevet got their chelik based on the population of their Shevet. L'rav tarbe nachlaso v'lama'at tamit nachlaso ish l'fi pukudav yitei nachlaso. It's pretty explicit in the pasuk. Pukudav means the number of people in the Shvatim, and we only find numbers when it comes to counting how many people are in each Shevet. So you have to say that each Shevet was makabel a nachla that was based on the population that Shevet, and then they divided up that Nachla amongst the people in the Shevet. The suffix of the Gemara was, when they did the Chalukah that was done Begoral and the Bu'urim V'tumim, was that Chalukah, in terms of which Shevet got which piece of land, was that only in the initial division of which Shevet gets which piece of land, or maybe even in the Chalukah within each Shevet it was also done Alpi Goral? That's how the Ravid understands the Gemara's question. But we're going to stick with the Rashbam's understanding that the question was about the size, about how they decided the sizes of each of these 12 chalakim, whether it was based on population or it was just totally even. So Tashma, Bein Rav Lema'at. Well, first of all, it says, Beferish Bein Rav Lema'at. Rashbam explains that sounds like each Shevet got an even chelek, because it sounds like Eretz Yisrael is divided evenly, regardless of whether it was Rav Lema'at, regardless of whether your Shevet had a large population or a small population. V'od Tanya. Plus, there's another Braisa that says a lot of things, but one of the things it's going to tell us is about how they did this Chaluka. Asida Eretz Yisrael Shetischalek L'Shlosha Asar Shvatim. One day, Eretz Yisrael is not going to be divided into 12 parts, it's going to be divided into 13 different Shvatim. Shebetchila lo neschalka el l'shneim asar Shvatim. Initially, in the days of Yeshua, it was only divided into 12 Shvatim. V'lo neschalka el bekesef. And it was divided with money. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what that means, but Pasha Pshat is that there had to be some compensation for people who got a better worse portion from people who got a better portion. Shenamar bein Rav Lema'at. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Sa'ab Yehuda, Shava Chamesh Se'in Begalil. If you had one Sa'a of grain in Yehuda, that was worth the same amount as five Se'in in Galil, meaning the quality of the land in Yehuda was far greater than the quality of the land in Galil. Why exactly that would be true? The Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that it's not true in terms of the quality of the peros, that Galil has such terrible peros and Yerushalayim has such great peros, because the Pasuk says in Devarim Lamed Gimel about Yosef, Mevareches Hashem Artzo, and we find the other Shvatim are also, they have a great Shevach about the peros that they get. And by Yerushalayim, the Gemara Pesachim Daf Chesam Beis tells us that Yerushalayim never had peros kinosar. Peros kinosar were the most delectable, delicious, expensive fruits. Yerushalayim didn't have them. Yerushalayim didn't have peros kinosar. Why not? So the Gemara says in Pesachim, because we don't want people going to Yerushalayim and talking about the Gashmias. People should go to Yerushalayim and talk about the Ruchnias. That's our Dafyomi coincidence. People should go to Yerushalayim and talk about the Ruchnias experience of Yerushalayim. You don't want them to be talking about how nice the hotel was. You want them to be talking about the experience of spirituality that they had in Yerushalayim. But be that as it may, the peros were not that great in Yehuda, apparently, because they didn't even have peros kinosar. So that's why the Rabbi Yaakov Emden says you have to say that even at this point, even though the Gemara is going to say it explicitly later, even at this point we're talking about how close everything was to Yerushalayim. That in Yehuda it's the proximity to Yerushalayim that made it better, that made it more worthwhile, that made the same piece of land that could produce one sa'a worth five times as much. It's about location, it's not about the quality of the land itself. V'lonischalka ela begorel. And in the times of Yoshua, the division happened al pigorel, shenemar ach begorel. But not only al pigorel, v'lonischalka ela bu'urim v'tumim. Bu'urim v'tumim was also involved, shenemar al pi hagorel. And based on the word pi, we darshan that it has to relate to the urim v'tumim. As Rashbam says, al pi is mashma al pi urim v'tumim. Hakeit said, well, how could it be? Was it gorel or was it urim v'tumim? How did they decide how to divide up the land? So Elazar melubash urim v'tumim. Elazar Kohen would wear the urim v'tumim. V'Yoshua v'kol Yisrael omdim lefanav, and Yoshua and everybody else would stand in front of him. V'kalpi shel shvatim, and he had like one bowl or one box that had the names of the shvatim written out on different pieces of wood. V'kalpi shel tchumin munach lefanav, and he had another box that had lottery tickets or pieces of wood or whatever it was. These little things that were written with each of the tchumen, with each of the sections of the land that were to be given out. V'yimachavin beruach hakodesh v'omer zvulun ola tchum ako ola imo. First, the Urim V'tumim would speak. The Urim V'tumim would give the message, and Elazar would be able to interpret the message of the Urim V'tumim, and he would identify a shevet, and he would identify a piece of land that would go with that shevet. Tarif bekalpi shel shvatim v'alav yado zvulin, tarif bekalpi shel tchumin v'alav yado tchumako. And then they would do the goral, and it would come out exactly that way. They would stick their hand into the box with the names of the shvatim, and zvulin would come out, and at the very moment they would stick their hands into the box with the different parts of Eretz Yisrael, and tchumako would come out. V'chozer mechavim brach chodesh v'omer naftali ola v'tchum ginosar alimo. And then they would say al pidurim v'tumim that it's going to be naftali next. And Naftali is going to get the Tchum Ginosar. Tarif Bekalpi Shal Shvatim V'alabiyado Naftali. Tarif Bekalpi Shal Tchum V'alabiyado Tchum Ginosar. And then they would do the Kalpi, they would do the draw the lots, and it would come out exactly that way. V'chein Kol Shevet V'Shevet, and that's how it worked with every single Shevet. So, interesting point over here. Tosos in Dibra Maskel Zvulun writes, Lav Achom Mamish, Achom Michelek Asher. You know, it's a strange example that we give, that they would announce Zvulun and Tchum Akko. Well, it can't be Akko, because that's not true. If you actually look in the Chalukah Sa'aretz, that was in Shevet Asher, so it's a little bit odd that the Gemara, we realize the Gemara is not actually trying to be precise to give us exactly who got what over here, it's just trying to explain the process. But why would it be inaccurate? Why would it tell us Tchum Akko? So Tosfos writes that Tchum Akko is not the same as Akko. It means the Tchum that's near Akko. Tosfos Rosh says that's where Rabbeinu Tam says, Asher He changes the gear, so it can't be Zvulun. It's got to be Asher that we refer to over here. But in addition to that, the Rashbam is bothered. You know, of all the Shvatim to choose, you want to give examples of two Shvatim, you know, just to explain the process. Zvulun and Naphtali? And why in that order? Why those seem, you could not choose two more random Shvatim than Zvulun and Naphtali. So the Rashbam says, yeah, it's exactly the point. The point is that it was all Bimikra. It was all, you know, unpredictable, and yet it's still the Goral and the Urim V'Tumim were exactly the same. You would think the Urim V'Tumim would go in order, and then the miracles that the Goral would conform to that. But everything was completely out of order. The whole thing was completely bimikra. The Tos Rid, however, says no. The Gemara Dafka wants to, or the Brisa Dafka wants to pick the portions of land that are at the edges of Eretz Yisrael. Zvulun was in the far west of Eretz Yisrael. Zvulun L'Chof and Yos Yishkon. Naphtali was in the far east of Eretz Yisrael, was the Ginosa, which was in the Mizrach. So we dafka want to show from east to west the full expanse of Eretz Yisrael. That's why we dafka choose these two examples. The Rashbam writes over here that when we said that they had these two boxes in front of them, that the one had the 12 names of the Shvatim and the other one had the 12 identities of pieces of land. Rashash just points out on this Rashbam that Moshe had already given Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe their portion on the Eivar HaYarden, on the other side of the Yarden. So when he says that there are 12 lots, it can't be true, because 2.5 Shvatim were already taken care of. You have to say Lav Davka. You have to say that there were 10 of each, and Mestam of the Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe ended up with a smaller portion than everybody else. That's the only way this would make sense. Says the Gemara further, the chaluka in this world is not the same as the chaluka in the next world. In the original chaluka, meaning the chaluka of Yehoshua, if someone gets a field of grains, he does not have a field of trees. Sada pardes in lo sada lavan, or vice versa, he does not get both. He does, if someone has a field of trees, he does not have a field of grain. In Olam Haba, everyone is going to get every type of land. Shnemar Shar Reuven Echad, Shar Yehuda Echad, Shar Levi Echad. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mechalik Len Ba'atzmo. Shnemar Ve'en Machlukosam Nu'um Hashem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Mechalik to each of them individually, all different types of land. The Yad Ramah first of all points out, what a strange Olam Haba. What are we talking about exactly? We're talking about Yemos HaMashiach over here. We're not talking about the Olam HaNeshamos where you get Yischar Va'Onesh, the ultimate schar va'onesh. So the Yad Ramah says, yeah, olam haba often means, similar to the term la'asad lavo. The term la'asad lavo means sometime in the distant future. So sometimes it means in the olam haneshamos, sometimes it means in Yemos HaMashiach, sometimes it just means in the great distant future. Olam haba doesn't usually mean distant future, but it means either Yemos HaMashiach or the olam haneshamos. Over here it means Yemos HaMashiach. It doesn't mean the olam haneshamos. The Rishonim raised the question, though, Tosos amongst them, in Dibra Maskel HaOlam, that our Gemara seems to be going against the Gemara in Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Pei Aleph and Beis. Because in Baba Kama, Pei Aleph and Beis, it tells us that even in the original Chalukas HaAretz, people got Bahar, or Beshval, or Benegev, they got all different types of lands. And over here it says, no, that's the difference between our Chalukah and the ultimate Chalukah. So Tosa suggests that over there it means each Shevet got all different types of lands. But in Olam Haba, it's not just each Shevet. Our Gemara specifically said that Kol Echad V'Echad, that every single person is going to get all different types of lands. Tosfos also says that Olam Hazeh, each one gets all different types of lands, but maybe the emphasis is on one over the other, meaning a person gets more grain than he gets orchards, or more orchards than fields. So, but in Olam Haba, meaning in Yemos HaMashiach, it's going to be an even amount of all the different types of fields. In the Ein Eliyahu, he says that we could be medayik from the Lashon of the Gemara and Baba Kama. It says, Ein Lecha Mi Yisrael, that Dafka, all of Yisrael is going to have all of the minim. But Leviim, who get Arim u'migrasheim, who get their Arei Leviim and the empty areas around it, each one that gets one of them would get a migrash, which is a Sada Lavan, and the other guy would get a migrash, which is a Pardes. And not everyone got the same min. Olam Abba, that's going to be the difference. Not for the rest of us, for the Leviim, it's going to be different. That each of the Leviim is going to get all the different types of fields. So those are three of the possibilities of how to reconcile our Gemara with the Sugya in Baba Kama. Katani Mias, but the bottom line is, in this long brisa that we just quoted, it said that initially the chalukah was done to 12 shvatim, that it was 12 parts for 12 shvatim. So you see clearly that it was divided amongst the shvatim and not amongst the people themselves, not based on the population of the people themselves. So that is our second and final raya, that it was done based on the Shvatim. Now that we quoted this whole long brisa, we're going to start explaining it piece by piece. Amr Mar, so we had said in this brisa, Asidar Yisrael Shetischalek Lishlosh Asar Shvatim, that one day Eretz Yisrael is going to be divided amongst 13 Shvatim. So Idach Laman, who gets that 13th portion? Meaning we already took care of all the 12 shvatim. Sam Rav Chista l'nasi. That 13th portion is going to go to a nasi. Tichsiv v'ha'oved ha'ir ya'avdu mikol shiftei Yisrael. That the oved ha'ir, that's a reference to a melech or a nasi, he's considered to be, in Judaism we consider the melech or the nasi to be an eved li'am. He works for the people. It's not just a position of kavod where people are his subjects, but he works for the people. So they each have to give him something so that he gets a chelik as well. Amle Rav Papa Baye, Ema Rungar Bialma. How do you know that he's getting a piece of land? Maybe Rungar Bialma. What does that mean? Says Rashbam. Schirim Bialma lavalo ketalmidim l'rav. Avalo yutal no minachalasam. Maybe what people have to do for the Nasi is to work for him a little bit, but not to actually give up a piece of land to him. Rabbeinu Chananel Pirish Rungar. Run b'loshun pras yom v'gar sachir. Klamer schir yom. Maybe they just have to be day laborers for him, but to give up a piece of their nachla, maybe that's not included. Lo salkadai tuchtuchsiv, v'anosa l'nasi mizeh mizeh l'tshumas ha'kodesh l'achuzas ha'ir. So that in addition to the tshumas ha'kodesh l'achuzas ha'ir, he also gets something else, which is a piece of the land itself. Now Rashbam and Tosos point out that you can't say that the extra chelek is for Shevet Levi, because in Lasa Davo, Shevet Levi is going to get a piece of the land. Shar Levi Echad, the pasuk in Yecheskel, Parak Mem Ches tells us, because even though Levi will get a chelek Lasa Davo, but that's already made up for by the fact that Yosef in Olam Hazeh gets Shnei Chalakim, he gets for Menashe and for Ephraim, whereas Lasa Davo he's only going to have a single chelek, Shar Yosef Echad. So we already made up for that discrepancy by condensing Yosef into a single chelek. That's why the Gemara had to say this 13th chelek was for a nasi. The Ran just raises a question that it says beferish in the pasuk in Yecheskel, Ko amar Hashem Elokim geguvul ashetis nachlu es haaretz l'shnei asar shiftei Yisrael Yosef chavalim, which sounds like Yosef gets two chalakim, and that's what Targum Yonason says over there as well, that Yosef is going to get, that there's a gavul Menashe, and there's a gavul Ephraim, that Yosef still gets two chalakim, even la'asadavo. And even the idea that Shevet Levi gets a chalak in Olam Haba is difficult, because it doesn't say that he gets a chalak ba'aretz, but that he dwells in the cities that were given, that each of the Shvatim have to give up for the Leviim. But that's not their own chalak, that's what each of the Shvatim provide for the Leviim. So the Rana understands the kasha of the Gemara is that just like in Chalukas Eretz Yisrael in Olam Hazeh, the Bnei Yosef gets Shnei Chalakim and Shevet Levi doesn't get at all, so too Lasadavo. So therefore, where's the 13th Chalak? Meaning, the way the Rashbam understood is that granted, Shevet Levi is getting their own Chalak, so that would be the 13th, but Yosef is being condensed, so we're back down to 12. And therefore, the Gemara is asking, so where's the 13th going to? The way the Ran understands is, no, it's all the same. And therefore, where's the 13th going to? It's the same as it is right now, where there's nothing for Levi, and there's two for Yosef. So says Gemara further, and they had to divide it up based on the value of the land. They had to compensate those who received land that was less valuable. Shnamar ben Rav Lamaat. So the Mai, what does it mean, land that was less valuable? Ilem l'shufra v'sanya. If you're going to tell me that we have to take into account the quality of the land itself, you know, and the quality of the fruit it produces, atu b'shufta niyaskinan. Well, you think we're dealing with idiots? Obviously, when you're gonna split up a land, you have to realize that some will produce more, and you have to compensate for that. And obviously, you're going to give more land to someone who's getting a lesser quality, and less land to someone who's getting a higher quality. Elo l'krova urechoka. No, it's not about the quality of the land. It's about location. How close is it? As Rashbam writes, hakarkos ayucholkin mishava mishalokech menakachus notal yosar ad kedmei ayafa. Based on the value of the land in terms of its in terms of what it produces, that was all evened out. You'd get a larger piece of a lower quality land and a smaller piece of a higher quality land. Avol mishal lo garolo bekarav liyushalayim malamos l'mishal shal. But if someone was closer to Yerushalayim, even though it may not produce superior peiros, that land is worth a lot more. Just like today, if you're right in the heart of Yerushalayim, you're dealing with prime real estate that's worth a lot of money. Can you imagine when there's a Beis HaMikdash, how much more that location is going to matter? When you got to be Ol Regel three times a year and you're not going to have to pay for you know, for travel and schlepping and because everything will already be there. Sharocha karum neshnei dvarim. There are two reasons that being further away from Yerushalayim is of less value. This is a great dafyomi coincidence. Ech mibnei sharochok mibeis hamikdash. First of all, you're further away from the Beis Hamikdash. Vech mibnei sharkaravu leretz ha'amim v'yesh lidug mehen. Further away you are from Yerushalayim, closer you are to the borders of the other nations that surround us, where you have a security issue that you have to be concerned about. So the more you are in the heartland, the less you have to be worried about security. So that's why being near Yerushalayim is considered to be something that was much more valuable. Nafkamina between the two is Lasa Lavo, when Vigarza Evim Keves, that the nations of the world aren't going to bother us, and there's not a security issue, but you still have the being close to Yerushalayim issue in very great measure. Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva Narchaim Zim Chavtes raises a question. He says, we're talking about the original Chalukas Ha'aretz, now when Yeshua divided up the land. So being closer to Yerushalayim mattered then? Not only did we not have a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, we had Mishkan Shiloh, which lasted for centuries, 369 years. So you would think, being closer to Shiloh, not only did we not have a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, we didn't even know where the site of the Beis HaMikdash was going to be. That was not revealed to David till he was told to buy the Garden of Arvana Hayavusi, and he discovered, you look, it doesn't give it away in Chumash, the Mefarshim deal with it, the Rambam or Nevuchim and Kuzari, they all discuss if Yerushalayim is such an important city to the Jewish people, how come it's not mentioned anywhere in the five books of Moses? It doesn't appear. Okay, hints to it, you know, Malki Tzedek, you know, was Melech Shalem or whatever, but you don't have any explicit mention of Yerushalayim. They had no idea. So what does it mean that it was more valuable if it was near Yerushalayim? So Chassam Sofer says you have to say that initially they measured the value of the land based on proximity to Shiloh. But once the Beis HaMikdash was established in Yerushalayim, they had to reorient themselves and recompensate people differently based on distance to Yerushalayim and not based on Shiloh. Says Gemar Kitanai. Maybe this is in fact a machlokas time. Reb Lazar Amar B'Ksafim Ha'aluah, Reb Yeshua Amar B'Karka Ha'aluah, Lo Neschalka El B'Gorol Shnemar Ach B'Gorol. That it was a machlokas whether the way they would compensate them was with money or with more land. But was divided originally begorel. Tana ach begorel yatzi Yoshua v'kalev. Ach begorel means everyone got their piece of land begorel except for Yoshua and Kalev. Lemai. So what does that mean that Yoshua and Kalev were not included in the gorel? Ile medelo shakul klal. If it means that Yoshua and Kalev didn't get a portion Eretz Yisrael at all, hasha delav detu shakul detu mibayi. If they even got the portions of the other meraglim, like we learned about previously, do you need to tell me that they got? Of course, they got their own portion. Ella shlo natlu begorel. Ella al pi Hashem. They didn't get begorel. They got al pi Hashem, direct command of Hashem that Yoshua and Kalev get land, not based on a gorel. Yoshua d'chziv al pi Hashem nasan lo esheir asher sha'al es timnas serach ba har Ephraim, that he got the land in har Ephraim that was called Timnas Serach. Uksiv Sarach, Uksiv Cheres. Now the land is called two things. It's called Sarach and it's also called Cheres. Amar Ablazar Bethchila Perosah Kecheres, Ulubsov Perosah Masrichin. Initially, the Peros of that land were like, they were hard like pottery, and then ultimately, when Yeshua got it, the Peros improved to the point that they're Masrichin, that they spoil quickly. What kind of Peros spoil quickly? Sweet, delicious, juicy Peros spoil more quickly. So that was a bracha that he got, that once he was there, it became masrichin. Others say, no, it's the opposite. That initially the peros would spoil very quickly. But then once Yeshua came in, they stopped spoiling quickly and instead they would last a long time. And that was the bracha, that they would last a long time. In the Ein Eliyahu, he says, L'chora Pashtus, that this machlokas of which is the bracha, to have peros that last long, or to have peros that are very sweet, is a machlokas tanaim in the second parak of Maseches Trumos. This comes up in Maseches Brachos as well. I just learned with my Talmidim yesterday, Maseches Brachos, that there is a machlokas, when you give truma to a Kohen, let's say you have two options. You can eat, this comes up in Brachos, in the sugya of making a bracha on a shalem versus making a bracha on a prusa. Let's say you have two options. You can give one whole fruit to a kohen, or you can give half of a larger, juicier fruit to a kohen. Now, the larger, juicier one is a higher quality fruit, but you're only going to be giving half. Or do you give the one whole fruit to the kohen? So the Mishnah makes a distinction. La halacha, the Gemara makes a distinction. I'm not sure if it's part of the Mishnah, that it depends if the kohen is lefanav or not. That if the kohen is right in front of you, so give him the half of the juicier, more delicious fruit, because he'll eat it right now and it'll be more delicious. But if you don't have a kohen lefanav, and it's going to have to take some time till you find the kohen, you want that which is kayim. You want that which is going to be able to stay for longer. So it seems that that's a discussion about what's better. Is it better to have something that will stay for longer? Or better to have something that's higher quality? That's exactly our machlokas over here about what the bracha of Yeshua was. Kalev d'chsev, v'yivu l'kalev es Chevron, kasher dibur Moshe, v'yorish misham eshlosh b'nei ha'anak. Chevron, ir miklat avai. Wait a second, Chevron goes to Levim, it doesn't go to Kalev, it's near miklat. So Amar Abaye, Parvarha, it's the suburbs of Chevron that Kalev got. D'chsev, esdeya ir v'eschatzirea, nosel l'kalev b'nifuna, ba'achuzaso. That's what it means that Kalev got Chevron. Says the Mishnah now, new Mishnah. Echra ben v'echra bas b'nachla. Both the son and the daughter receive an inheritance. A son gets pishnayim in the father's inheritance. He does not get pishnayim in the mother's inheritance. We're going to have to explain the connection between the first line and that line. We have the word ella as a connecting word, as if this is qualifying the first line about both sons and daughters, but then we're only talking about sons and just the difference between sons getting from fathers and sons getting from mothers. Va'banos nizonos minichse ha'avim nizonos minichse ha'em. Daughters get mezonos from the father's estate, they do not get mezonos from the mother's estate. It's a tanai ksuba that the father promises that after the Yerusha, his Yarshim are going to support the daughters that he has from this marriage. The woman has no obligations in the tanai ksuba, so her estate does not have to support the daughters. May echra ben vechra bas l'nachla. What exactly does that mean, that both the son and the daughter get Yerusha? So we're going to have four possibilities. Ile mediyarti ki adadi hatanan ben kodum bas kol yatsir. If it just means that daughters also get Yerusha, that it can't mean that. That's not even one of the four possibilities, because we already know that when there's a ben and a bas, the daughters do not also get Yerusha. That only the ben. Not only that, even if the ben is no longer alive and his children are alive, they would get before the bas gets anything. Even if he has only daughters, they would get before the bas gets anything. So it can't mean that when there are sons and daughters, they both get. So Amar Rav Nachman Rizk, first possibility, Hachikam. That not only does a son yarshin that which is ro'i to come to his father, a daughter would also yarshin that. Says Mar Hanami Tanina, but we already know that. That the Benot Slavchad were entitled to the chelik that Slavchad was going to get, b'nichsei chefer, even though Slavchad himself never received it because chefer was still alive. So you see that the daughters already get b'ro'i. Va'od my Ella, and also the word Ella doesn't fit in the Mishnah, because it would seem to connect the first line with the second line, but according to this, there's no connection. Elam Rav Papa's second possibility. Hachika Amar. Echara ben ve'echara bas notin chelek b'bechora. That both a son and a daughter get the father's chelek b'chora. The father received a double portion because he was a b'char. Both the son and the daughter get passed on that chelek b'chora. Meaning if it were only daughters, they would get that chelek b'chora as well. Hanami tanin of shay b'char notel shnei chalakim. Yeah, we already said that the b'nos Slavchad got an extra chelek because Slavchad was a b'char, and therefore they got his chelek b'chora. So we already know that the chelek Bechora of the father gets passed on to the daughters. Va'od, my Ella. And also, that wouldn't explain the word Ella. So says our third possibility. Ella, maravashi achikamar. Echad ben ben abanim. Vechad bas ben abanus. Whether it's a son among sons or a daughter amongst daughters. Imamar yirish kal nichsai, dvar of kayamin. If the father says, I want this one to get all of the Yerusha, that works. Says Gemara, come on, Rabbi Yochum and Broka. That means that our mission is going only like the sheet of Rabbi Yochum and Broka. But Akhtanin al Kaman, Rabbi Yochum and Broka. That works as long as the person you're identifying to get everything is one of your Yorshim. But you see that's machlokas later on. Only Rabbi Yochum and Broka says that. And if you're going to say, no, but Rabbi wants to teach us that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochum and Broka, and that's why he made our Stam Mishnah exactly like Rabbi Yochum and Broka, says Gemara, Stam Yachar Kach Machlokas. Rabbi wouldn't be teaching us the halacha like Rabbi Yochum and Broka by making our Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yochum and Broka, because you have a Stam and then a Machlokas, and the rule is Stam Yachach Machlokas Ein Halacha Kastam. That is not Halacha. The Halacha does not go like the Stam when you have a Machlokas after the Stam. Va'od my Ella. Plus, we still haven't accounted for the word Ella. So rather, tomorrow we're going to have to learn the fourth possibility of what exactly our Mishnah means when it says Echra Ben V'Echra Bas Ben Nachla.